minute.org.
I have heard it said that the man who never does anything he doesn't like rarely likes anything he does. Did you catch that? Let's face it, life is filled with mundane, non-exciting tasks that aren't much fun. So we need to figure out how to like even the things we don't like doing. I think the secret is gratitude. Instead of disliking yard work, we could be grateful for having a house with a yard to care for. And the Apostle Paul said we should learn to give thanks in all things. When we do, we will find reasons to like almost all of it. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's reasons for gratitude on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66. Start your journey home today.
We all have a story to share, and that story, I think, is the best way to find that mentor.
When it comes to growing in your faith, J.T. Jester says mentorship has a vital role. Hi, I'm Mark Gothier for Making Your Life Count, and J.T. gives us his perspective.
It's about finding your tribe, finding the people that you want to be surrounded with, and being able to have a good, solid group of people is so important. And it starts from the top down. So it starts with the good Lord and family and then friends. And as my grandma always said, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And I think that that is so true because it really highlights what type of person you are. And those people help you grow in many ways.
It's a biblical principle. Mentorship is vital as you grow in your faith journey. Find more help as you seek to follow God more closely at CRU.org. That's CRU.org.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm thrilled to invite you to this year's Faith and Freedom Forum at North Jacksonville Baptist Church on Tuesday, April 2nd. Join other local pastors and church leaders as we gather in community and learn how together we can defend our religious liberty. I look forward to seeing you there.
Tuesday, April 2nd at North Jacksonville Baptist Church, the Faith and Freedom Forum. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours today at faithfreedomforum.com.
Ignition sequence time. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. Little delayed there coming in as Brian was praying for us. You know, Doug is actually away for the next couple of days. Actually, he's away for the rest of the week. He's out in California attending the Shepherds Conference, and he has left it up to me, and I am privileged. Really, seriously, to have one of my fellow SWAT brothers, one of my favorite golf buddies.
All right,
but my good friend Brian Andrews. Actually, I was going to say Brian, my brother that I met on our first trip to Israel together, and brother, it is good to see you.
You as well. Yes, that Israel trip really got it going with Doug, didn't it?
It did.
I learned a lot then, for sure.
Well, but you and I connected there. Our wives connected there. And yeah. The rest is history, as they say.
I know. We'll never talk about that saltwater bath we took in the big Dead Sea. But
oh, man.
I know. It was a good time.
I remember, you know, nothing like just starting off and talking about some funny stuff. If you've been to Israel, you've probably been to the Dead Sea. And if you've been to Israel and haven't been to the Dead Sea, you need to go back just to go float around the Dead Sea. And I think they told us, hey, when you go out there, make sure you lay on your back. And the reason why is because if you lay on your front, it's harder to flip back over because you're just floating there. And I remember just laughing hard. As I know you do with Angel, absolutely, your bride, right. Vic and I can just crack up over some of the funniest things. But anyway, what's going on in your world?
Well, let's see. Retired life, getting in the full stride with that.
And I can tell based on that beard you've got working.
Is that right? Yeah, it's one made for radio for sure.
Looks good, man.
Thank
looks
you.
Good.
Thank you. I just got back with a church retreat this weekend, then snuck in a little dinner with some high school friends in Orlando, and then a little grandchild visit on yesterday.
Oh, good.
So things have been busy.
Yeah, they have been. So how is the grandbaby, grandchild?
Oh, she's doing really well, and 20 months, and then they got a second one on the way.
Oh, so, come on now.
Yeah, I'm bracing that, but I can learn a lot from you because you were 18 and counting, or what?
Actually, we're 10 and counting. We do have two on deck.
Yes.
And so we're super excited about that. We had Graham over last night for dinner. Oh, Graham and his sister Ellie. And I know you and Angel feel the way Vicky and I do. Getting time with those kids is just timeless. It's precious, you know.
Absolutely.
And in fact, we've got the newlyweds coming in this weekend.
You do.
Come spend a weekend with us. We're excited. Just found out today that they're going to just come down. So Hannah and Caden, who just got married in October, as you know.
Yeah.
And they're going to come spend the weekend with us. So.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I am excited that you and I are going to kind of open the word together.
Yes.
And what a great text. And Doug and I kind of got into it a little bit yesterday, but I know there's a lot in the news going on. Mm-hmm. And I actually took the morning. I've teach on Friday mornings, and interestingly enough, you'll find this humorous. I'm teaching the business fellowship through the book of Acts this year.
Oh, good.
So, you know, in light of the fact we just spent 3 years going through it at SWAT.
That's right.
I spent 2 years going through Acts 3 years ago in our West Side study.
Wow.
So, I'm pretty full of Acts. But
you are, indeed.
Okay. I'm excited about it. So, anyway, I took the morning to go do some studying. I had some inspection issues I had to work with regarding work. And then I said, hey, babe, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and just study. But, there is a lot on the news today.
There is.
In light of this ruling that came down by the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday.
Right.
9-0 outcome.
Yeah.
I think that's favorable. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Outwardly, they're all unified, and in the back curtain, there's probably a little drama we don't know about fully. But yes, it was the right decision. And I think we all know what we're talking about there. But, you know, let the people decide on who they're going to vote for, not a state.
Yeah. For those who haven't been following the reasoning of this case, the Colorado Supreme Court had ruled that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which was written to bar former Confederates from holding office, also applied to Trump because Colorado ruled he tried to commit an insurrection.
Right.
Forget that he was not, you know, tried for that. But we did see some pundits who are branded as conservative in a major media outlet support the decision. But a 9-0 decision was the outcome. So I think that was
good.
I think
good
that was
for America.
Right. Exactly. I think, you know, so oftentimes I know we usually spend that first segment here of SWAT just talking about, you know, what's going on in the world. I almost want to keep my distance from political issues.
Sure.
But this is more than political. This is so much of the Constitution is in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, there's such language about democracy is over. And well, this just proves it isn't.
Right. Know? Absolutely. Glad to see that. And you know what I came across just yesterday and shared it with my wife last night was a friend of ours talked to us about a famous radio show guy, 1965. And he said, if the devil were to, you know, lead us astray, he'd try and convince us that God lives in Washington, D.C. And while we need to be active, while we need to have views, while we need to vote, we need to protest, we need to do whatever, actively participate, we can't lose sight of the fact that our hope is not in Washington, D.C. It's in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's why we, you know, treasure the scripture and the promises of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's where are you a citizen?
Right.
You know, I was studying, as I mentioned, through Acts, and you see what's happening in the early church.
Right.
And there's such excitement. There's such an expansion of the church.
Absolutely.
As people are hearing the gospel.
Yes.
And their hope, as we know, goes from, you know, from down to up. It goes from looking down to looking up and knowing our hope is in Christ.
Right.
It is not in the White House. It is yes. not in Congress. It is not in the Senate. Our hope is in Christ. We are aliens. We are, as yeah. Paul says, sojourners.
Right.
You know, and boy, it's easy to lose that thought. It's easy to lose that perspective.
It is. And that our real calling is that to be ambassadors for Christ
yes.
and to represent. What higher calling could there be?
Oh,
you may think getting promoted from senior director to vice president or to president is a great deal, but ambassador for Christ on your business card, no higher calling. And we have been entrusted with the word and enabled to believe and trust it as
yeah.
true.
Yeah. I think about what we were talking about last week mm-hmm. Here on the radio was, First Timothy 2
yeah.
or Second Timothy 2, where Paul tells Timothy, guard the good deposit.
Yes.
That we have been entrusted with the word of God, the
right.
spirit of God.
Right.
And we cling to that. Not the word is not our savior. It's the word that became flesh that is our savior.
Yes.
But we have this word, and we should treasure it. I think of Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin again. That word hidden could mm-hmm. also be translated treasure. I have treasured that word in my heart.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up. One of the parables I was wrestling with today as I was listening or reading to the word, and it really convicted me. I was out doing some pressure washing, and I had to just hit stop and think about it. Went to my knees. Bent over on my knees a little bit and said, wow. And that's the gentleman that cuts through the field because he's a stranger. He hits, you know, something in the field, and he realizes there's treasure down here. Mm-hmm. Let's say his staff is pounded into the dirt, and he hits something that's a hollow box. He opens it up. He sees there's gold and jewels and everything on this other person's property. Well, now he knows what his plan needs to be. So he buries it back up. He says, I will sell everything I have just to buy this land because I know there's treasure there. And so he has a tangible, you know, example of him profiting in this life. But we know that treasure, and as Jesus says, it's like the kingdom of heaven. We know that treasure is greater in heaven and eternal life and all that, so much more than anything else we can lust for or covet here in this world. And we just need to believe it. That's the only difference, is believe it. And similarly with the people that Jesus has been healing here, you know, they got instantly what they needed. I wondered how many of them would have said, I'd rather have eternal life than my blindness removed or my ailment removed. Mm. And that's that was a gut check for me today.
Oh man. So true. So true. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of the reality that, and I wonder if, I'm sure you feel the same way I do, at least in the West, in America, we live in such comforts.
Yes.
You know, we're constantly, you know, we buy a new mattress every 7 years because the one we're sleeping on has maybe gotten uncomfortable.
That's right.
We yeah. buy new cars because, you know, and we're all about our comforts.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we're going to experience a comfort that's cannot be compared. And really, we should be experiencing that comfort today.
We should.
That our comfort is in Christ, and that he has given us his word, that treasure, that field that has mm-hmm. has treasure in it. Where do we go for comfort? You know, and so oftentimes we're going to the physical
yeah.
rather than the spiritual.
Yeah. Or we're chasing the bait that the evil one, Satan's
absolutely.
Throwing out there at us, which can be insecurity or, you know, other things.
Yeah, Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about kind of working through this text that you teach last week or
no, I observed last week.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know you're prepared for what we're going to dig into this week as we are back in the Gospel of Mark. And it's quite a text. I come to the Wednesday study and I'm usually just busy taking notes like crazy. Yeah. And now the challenge, Brian, for me is oftentimes when I open up my journal and go, what did I write here? there's so much in there. You're teaching multiple times a week, it's like, okay, I need to zero back in on this text. In fact, as we'll look at this week, we're talking about a field. You brought up this idea of a field. And we kind of got into it a little bit yesterday, that the Nahala, which was this field that you would go to, that mm-hmm. you as a citizen yeah. of that country would go to that field to harvest it, that you would plant the seeds, you would mm-hmm. harvest it. And but what is prepared? What is needed when we look at that field? Mm-hmm. And the field, as we're looking at this week, is the heart.
Yes.
It is the heart. And I was just literally, as I mentioned earlier, studying, preparing a lesson. So oftentimes we can get so into the text that I want to communicate this text, but I don't let that text get into me and to do it for me.
That's right.
So I'm kind of excited to dig into that with you. Glad you've tuned in to us this afternoon. If you want to call in, you got the number over there, Brian.
Absolutely.
You give the number for people to call in if they want
to
call.
Here we go. We got 844-777-7928. One more time. Give us a call. 844-777-7928. All you farmers, you're going to relate to this story and you can probably give us some insights we didn't know about.
Amen.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. In studio with me is my good friend Brian Andrews. And listen, if you are new to SWAT, maybe you just came across us on your radio dial. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, and we're glad to have you join us today. Our desire here on SWAT Radio is to equip and encourage you, the listener, to live out your faith fearlessly in a world that often challenges it. Our mission is rooted in the biblical understanding that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Paul, in fact, exhorts the believers to demolish arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God by taking every thought captive to obey Christ. In fact, at SWAT Radio, we have five core values. We believe that God's word is our authority and it is our greatest weapon. We believe that prayer is not just an act of obedience, but it's a recognition that the battle is the Lord's. We also believe that discipleship is an act of iron sharpening iron, and is essential in fighting the good fight. We also believe that evangelism is not just a command, but a commissioning for all who are called. And finally, we believe that community is the place where we're given the opportunities to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why I often encourage you, hey, we love having you tune in to SWAT Radio, but we would love it even more if you came in person and joined us at one of our Bible studies. You can go to the SWATradio.com. You can click on the meetings tab, find a meeting near you, and come join us in person. You can also join us on a Zoom call every Thursday night. You'll see that in the tab there at SWATradio.com. So, Brian, we're going to jump into this text this week. And I'm often, as you probably have heard, and you've been in several times here on this broadcast, that as we look at this text that we're looking at, Mark chapter 4, we're looking at verses 1 through 20. How is your soil?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to back up to something you referenced, too, if I could.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about this spiritual battle that we're in, and I think we all know that evil's out there, right? It doesn't take a Christian to know it. Evil is out there. There's good and evil in this world. And so as a Christian, what we need to be reminded in Ephesians 6, I was just glancing back over there, 6:10 and related verses. And then it comes to this. It says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're studying and treasuring the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and the sword is the only weapon that a person needs in battle to do what they need to. Mm-hmm. And so we read this because we know it's alive, because it's got a message for us, and because we know it's God-honoring and worships Him as well.
Yeah.
So,
But that sword is both offensive.
Correct.
And it's also, we heard it said, the word, at first, I was just mentioning it as we went into that break, is that I can get so into the word, into studying it, understanding the Greek, and maybe even how to teach the text,
correct,
that oftentimes I don't allow that sword to cut in. It says the sword, two-edged sword dividing soul and marrow and joint.
Yeah.
We think about that from a from a medical perspective. Have you ever had a hip replacement or joint replacement?
No.
Okay, me neither.
Okay,
hopefully I don't have to.
Yeah, right.
But I know what's required is you got to get into that joint there.
Yes.
And you think about that's what the Word of God is doing, is it's getting in to the, what I would call the nooks and crannies of my own heart. Mm-hmm. That is desperately wicked. It is sick.
Yes.
And I need the Word of God to get in me.
Yeah.
Not just something that gets in my head, as Doug and I were talking about yesterday. So oftentimes we have, the term disciple means learner.
Right.
But in America, we think learner is just information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be like going to medical school, but never practicing medicine.
Right.
You know, the reality is, we're not only to get it into our head, we're to get it into our heart.
Yes.
And it should be demonstrated in our hands and feet, how we live life.
Yeah. And is it not true that a parable will communicate more to the heart?
Oh,
somebody really understands it. Because we'll remember that story too. And is it any surprise that the greatest rabbi of all times would know that and then lay out some of these parables? Like I said, one other one about the field, heaven is like... It just popped me so hard. I'm like, wow, I missed that before, you know?
Yeah. And how many times have you been through this particular text?
Yes.
A number of times. You've probably taught through it.
Yeah.
And yet I learned, and isn't this great? This is why we often say, you know, you cannot plumb the depths of the Word of God.
No, you cannot.
Job said, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?
No.
Let me just answer that.
Yeah.
No.
No.
And the reason I say no is because as Doug was teaching this last week, I really just got a gem from his teaching. And one of them had to do when he went back, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Why don't we read this particular text to refresh our listeners and the, so we're up to what's going on in this particular text as we make our way through Mark's gospel. If you don't mind, you got a better voice than I do. Why don't you read it for us and we'll jump into it.
I think it's a great idea to let Jesus speak before you and
Amen.
I do. How about that? Okay, let's do it. Okay, we're in Mark chapter 1, And you want me to read 1 through what?
Let's go 1 through 20. Let's just grab
all the way through 20. Yeah. Okay, good. Here we go. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers along with the 12 began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear immediately, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones in whom seed was sown on the rocky places who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones in whom seed are sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulnesses of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. There's the word of God.
Yes, these are the very words of God. And, you know, interesting, you said there as we went into this, just speaking about parables, how the parables, you know, what was the purpose behind the parables? And I did not realize that, you know, roughly 70% of Scripture is story, you know. And, you know, you raised kids, and now you're probably going to be speaking into the lives of another generation.
Yes.
And so oftentimes you find yourself telling stories to help.
Right.
To help understand. And I love this idea of a parable being it's kind of comes from the word parallel, what we would know as parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a parallel story.
Yes.
To help you understand it. Right.
Right. Because we'll remember stories better than we will a lecture or speech. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we were talking about discipleship. So oftentimes the idea of a parable is that we would learn it for the purpose of living it.
Yes.
You know, it's not just learning it for the sake of information. It's learning it in order to apply it, to walk it out.
Right, right. And that first part is the parable and the word of God is for us. And then it's for others. But sometimes, like you said, we get it confused. And I start thinking may I slot that person there or slot that person there? And that's horrible when I really need to say, hey, there's been times in my heart when I was each one of these, and I need to praise God that, you know, he's given me insights and the ability to draw near him and digest this for my own benefit.
Amen. And you think about it, a parable as he would have been teaching parables, Jesus,
yeah.
his audience would have been thinking, who am I in this story? That's the whole point of this.
Right.
It's, why is it here? Why do I need to know this? Mm-hmm. And who am I in that story? One of the things we often talk about here on Fridays is, what stands out in this text? What does it say about God? What does it say about you? What does it say about man? How do we live this out? How does this impact the way I live my life? And as you look at these four soils, we should be able to identify, I'm one of those four soils.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we are going to take a break here in just a second, but there's two questions as we get back into this. Why is it here? Why do I need to know this? I think at this audience, his audience was highly illiterate.
Right.
And I think only people that could read were bishops and priests, the Levites, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the leaders. And so this would have been very helpful.
And he's in a boat on the water sitting for a reason. We can come back to that too.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. The crowds have grown, right?
Right.
You want to send us out with some information on how people can call in?
Yeah, absolutely. One more time for you. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928. SWAT Radio. Thanks for listening. Look forward to hearing.
I'm John Scott. Super Tuesday is underway. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders says she proudly cast her vote for former President Donald Trump.
There's not a poll in the country that not only has him dominated on Super Tuesday, but also in November. This is a head-to-head matchup at this point between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and he's the clear favorite, has all the momentum, and I feel really good about him winning again in November.
In North Carolina, Elizabeth Zacor, a registered independent voter, says she's for anyone but Trump.
I was actually a registered Democrat, and I switched it to that I could go either way just so I could vote for Nikki. Even though I'm a Democrat, I am so anti-Trump that I changed my party just so I could vote for Nikki.
SRN News will provide special reports throughout the evening and live wall-to-wall election coverage and analysis begins at 5 p.m. Eastern at salemnewschannel.com. Also at srnnews.com, the Smokehouse Creek Fire in the Texas Panhandle, the largest in state history, has now burned more than 1 million acres. The Panhandle is cattle country, and the fire has devastated the industry. And consumers may feel the effects. Thousands of head of cattle have been lost. The Justice Department has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to halt a new Texas law. That law allows police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally.
Under the Texas law, state officers can arrest people suspected of entering the country illegally. Once in custody, people arrested can agree to a Texas judge's order to leave the country or be prosecuted on a misdemeanor charge. Migrants who do not leave after being ordered to do so could be arrested again and charged with a more serious felony. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
This is SRN News.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend, with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit NEFLCommerce.com. christianchamber.com.
Expect some delays because of a crash on the West Beltway, 295 northbound before Pritchard Road. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on the East Beltway, 295 southbound at Merrill Road. And there's congestion I-95 northbound from Butler Boulevard to University Boulevard. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, low 64. Wednesday, cloudy with showers, becoming mostly sunny, high 79. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Brian in studio today. If you want to call this afternoon, we'd love to hear from you. A very familiar text that we're working through in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Verses 1 through 20, the parable of the soil. And if you want to call 844-777-7928, you can also email me at brad@swatradio.com. That's Brad, B-R-A-D, at swatradio.com. Brian, you and I yeah. were, so oftentimes is the case, as Doug and I are in here, you and I are in here, David, whoever's in here, we have some good discussions on the breaks.
Oh, we do.
You shed some light on a very a key passage in the scriptures where a parable is used.
Sure, sure. Well, let me start with a punchline. Let's go back to the Old Testament. The question here would be, can you any of you think of a time when a parable was used in the Old Testament? Doug shared one, and I thought it was very relevant, and the ending is kind of like this. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So that's King David saying to one of his prophets, Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, the setup behind it, as you may remember, was Nathan tells this parable. He says, there is a rich man that took a ewe from a poor man and then killed the baby lamb, and that was all that the poor man had. What should happen to this man? And of course, King David bows up and says, that is terrible, harsh punishment. And then Nathan spins it, and he said, you are that man. And so that's what parables can do. They can help us see in a parallel track, a parallel story, you know, what is just and what is right, and they can serve as correction. So I would say, secondly, do you have a person like Nathan that would confront you in your life? And that's what our group of SWAT men are about, knowing that we've got men that can poke a finger in the chest, a proverbial one usually, to say, hey, what are you doing in this area? You better stop, because you're on a path that's not going to wind up in the direction that you've said you want to wind up.
Amen. Amen. I mean, I think, and I'm sure you could testify to that reality in your own life,
right,
of the value and the benefit of walking with Christ and having someone there who was able to say, hey, Brian, I've seen this in you, tell me about that. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so often in our day, we don't want to do that.
We want
still waters all the time. And the reality is we're a mess, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to sin.
Absolutely.
And we need our brother to help us,
Yep. There's no better spot than when we are confessing our shortcomings.
Yeah.
Because we know he is righteous and just. And will forgive us our sins.
Well, that's a great text. I mean, Nathan, using a parable to confront King David, because so oftentimes when we confront, I know this personally in my own life, that when I've been confronted immediately without some sort of a story there, my immediate reaction is to defend myself.
Right. That's right.
When in reality, here's the story. This is what's happened.
Yeah.
Now, how do you respond to that?
Correct.
And David says, he immediately repents.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Well, and for those of you that just joined, we're just beginning Mark chapter 4. So just here's the setting in verses 1 through, 3 roughly, right? Jesus begins to teach. He's by the sea. The sea would have given him a little separation, because now after multiple healings and demonic healings, you know, people are just trying to touch his garment. So he needs to create a little separation. He's sitting in a boat, and there's another reason, I think, too. The water will broadcast his voice, and perhaps they're sitting in stadium seating, you know, along the shore. So he's got the ability to address that large crowd without getting interfered with. So he's got one or two disciples in the boat, I'm sure. And it says that he was teaching them many things in parables. So this is just one solid parable that we capture here, but he was teaching them many things in parables. Because why? You can remember the story, the parables speak to the heart, and also we know that there was discernment given to those that were truly seeking to follow him, and this parable might frustrate those that were trying to condemn him, particularly the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? So parables are a way to connect the true meaning without being accused of blasphemy because his time wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and parables are really a sign of wisdom.
Yes.
Even in the case of Nathan and David, there was an authority,
right,
with that parable. And I think over 4,000 Jewish parables are brought out.
Yeah.
And I think I love that picture that a parable is like a basket, you know, that had handles on it. You would carry it.
Right.
I love that picture. Again, that's, in a sense, a parable is this picture of carrying this basket with handles on it.
Right.
And, you know, it's text-based, so it's got, it alludes to a particular text.
Yes.
It interprets the text, mm-hmm, helps us to understand it.
Yeah.
And it also helps us to apply it. And I think as you look at this text that you read in Mark chapter, mm-hmm, 4,
yeah,
man, it's an important element of application, because again, if all we're doing is learning it for the sake of information, it's the information that has to lead to transformation.
Absolutely. And I'll say also, Jesus is affirming what the Jews had been doing from rabbis teaching students. So Jesus is teaching, he's using parables, so he's affirming that aspect. Many other things he condemned for what the Jewish leaders have done, right? And the traditions got in the way of God's commands. However, in this case, he's affirming, teaching, sitting in the rabbinical position, ready to, you know, teach them, and they're ready to hear.
Absolutely. For today, for the rest of our time today, and then you're going to be back on with me tomorrow.
That's right.
We're going to look at the first two soils today, and we're going to look at the hardened soil, and then we're going to look at the superficial soil, the superficial heart. And I think it's, you know, what was super helpful as Doug taught through this was this idea. Okay, so here's the story. He's teaching this parable, and he refers to this field. And the, mm-hmm, field, as Doug said, is like a Jewish garden. It was a nahala. It was as he described it, like a checkerboard.
Yes.
You know, you think about when you fly in an airplane, you look down. I remember the first time I ever flew in an airplane and looked down, and you see these fields down there, and they're distinctly marked out.
Right.
So imagine in those days you would have a plot of land,
mm-hmm,
and you may not live on that land, but you may live somewhere else, but you would go to that land and you would garden.
Right.
You would, you know,
rent it, perhaps.
You would rent it,
yeah,
or you owned it, mm-hmm, and you would raise a crop there,
yeah,
for yourself and for bartering. That's how you would do business. And so it was called a nahala. But we're going to look at these ideas. What do you do to prepare your heart for the Word of God? And as I mentioned earlier, as I came, mm-hmm, in, I'm studying to teach something. And so oftentimes, even as a teacher, we can study the text as to, okay, I understand the text, now I'm going to teach the text. But way more important than that is, how does it apply to me?
Yes.
How have I prepared my soil, the soil of my own heart,
mm-hmm,
to hear the Word of God? I don't know how, if you've ever caught yourself in church during a message and you just zoned out. You're just,
your
heart is not prepared.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at here in this text.
Right, right. And so if you're a farmer or going to farm that land, you're coming in and you're saying, hey, if there's a hard path, I want to soften that path up. if there's rocks in my way, I want to get those rocks out of there. And if there's weeds and thorns and everything else, I got to get that out of there. So those are some three things right there you're looking for if you're a farmer. Right?
Exactly. And I thought that, and you've been there, you and I were there together.
Right.
We remember the land there.
Yes.
Very rocky.
Right.
Very, lot of just growth. Yes. And you think about the growth that comes in that area of the country. It's whatever weeds are there, they're hard to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb, but I have done enough of it to know in my own yard that there, if I'm going to get anything to grow,
right,
that soil's got to be properly tilled. That that soil has to be prepared properly. And I think what he gets to right off the bat is in verses 1-4, he's dealing with this soil that is, as the text says, it is a rocky soil. It says other seed. Well, it says they began to teach beside the sea. A very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into the boat, as you mentioned. The whole crowd was beside the sea of land. He was teaching many things in parables. In his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. Now, who's the sower? It's God.
Yeah.
It's God sowing the seed of the gospel. Verse 4, and he sowed some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it.
Right.
What a simple picture.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus is sowing, and then the people's responses to his teaching reflect some, are channeled in some of these responses here.
Yeah. And so this first soil is, it fell along the path. These nahalas, these pieces of property,
right,
you would travel in between those properties. You didn't just march across a field.
Yeah.
You would walk. And as people walked and journeyed around these nahalas, there'd be a well-beaten path down.
Yeah. Hard soil. Yeah.
Yeah. And that seed is falling on that path. I don't know how well seed falls, grows on the path, but he tells us how well it grows.
Right.
Not very well. Hey, yeah. Join us. We're going to take one more break. 844-777-7928. You can also email me at brad@swatradio.com. If you have any questions or comments, love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. The Jacksonville Beaches listen at 91.7.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucified.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. I'm Brian Andrew along with Brad Sykes. Excited to cover with you chapter 4 of Mark. We'll get back to that in a minute, but give us a call if you like, 844-777-7928. And you also probably recall that SWATradio.com is how you can reach us and locate a group if you're in the Jacksonville area. We're meeting face-to-face. If you would like to join one of the video conferences that Doug puts on, you can also access and register it there. That's SWATradio.com. And it's good to have our St. Augustine, our folks in Georgia, Meridian, Mississippi, and Lighthouse in Virginia. Thanks, listeners, for joining and tuning in. So back to you, Brad. Where'd we leave off here?
Yeah, so we're looking at this parable. He's talking about
these four different soils. And, you know, most of us, we didn't grow up in an agrarian culture.
Right.
So we don't really, maybe it doesn't translate as well for us. But mm-hmm. for those of us who've done any gardening or any yard work, we know, this is now the time, at least in Jacksonville, to go to Lowe's or Home Depot, pick up your flowers,
right.
come plant them. Well, I don't know how it would work in your yard. If I'm going to plant, you know, flowers or something, I've got to prepare the soil for that plant to grow well. By the way, I don't know, you have citrus trees at your house?
I do, yes.
Yeah. And I have a citrus tree that I planted to the left of my driveway between my neighbor and my yard.
Okay.
But interestingly enough, I did not prepare that soil well.
Mm.
I dug a hole, I put the thing in the ground, and I watered it.
Yeah.
But the reality is the soil around that bulb, if you will, or that ball of roots was not prepared properly. And as a result, what's interesting is that tree's not producing any fruit yet. Now, I'm hoping that it will at some point, but it may take a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I bought a citrus tree and put it in a pot in my backyard. But boy, I put the good soil in there. And it's already blooming. So I'm kind of excited, hoping I'll get some fruit out of it.
But you also bring up a good point. We don't often put seeds in the ground here in Jacksonville.
Right, exactly.
There's not many of us that do.
No,
and
exactly.
if we were going to try that, we'd have some liquid Miracle-Gro on hand to juice it up a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, here's one thing, and I'll tell you, this will stick with me, is Doug brought out, what do you do to prepare soil? Well, in this Nahala, this piece of property that he's describing here, it was full of rocks. It was full of weeds and thorns and thistles and all that. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is there's two things they would do. They would burn that land to get rid of the thorns and the dry brush that was there.
Right.
It may have looked dead, but it wasn't really dead. It's growing, but they would burn it off.
Yeah.
And then the second thing they would do is they would go over that piece of property and they would break up the rocks that were there. That ground, as you know, is full of rocks.
Yeah.
And there was two things that came out in this text. I just want to share it with our listeners because I think it's very important to understand this. Going back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah. So think about burning this piece of property to get it ready for planting.
The preparation you're talking about.
Exactly. Preparing our hearts.
Preparing the hearts,
for the word, the seed. It says in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." Interesting. Speaking of this idea of breaking up your fallow ground, you're going to burn it, but you're going to break up the rocks that are there. Later, it says in Jeremiah chapter 23, let me go there real quick, Jeremiah 23 verses 29, I think it is. Sorry, I should have had my finger on it, but Jeremiah 23 verse 29 says, "Is not my word like fire?"
Yeah. Yes.
"Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces."
Sure.
You know, people have often said, you know, I just don't have a passion for God's word. I just don't I don't like studying it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pretty fit guy. I don't know if you were a runner at one time. Have you ever come across?
I got a 5K coming up in 10 days.
Do
funny you,
really? You
mentioned that.
Okay.
I've been challenged to run with somebody after 2.5 years
good
of not
you.
Doing any.
Good for you. Well, one of the things I hear from runners, people who are just avid runners, they didn't just start off loving running.
Right.
They became runners because they kept doing it.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes, becoming a lover of God's word requires that you just do it. Do it over and over again and let God's word be like a fire to your heart. Let God's word be like a hammer that breaks up those rocks. And that's the important part about preparing the heart for the seed of the gospel.
Absolutely. And let me say something else too. Prayer prepares somebody else's heart, right?
Mm.
I also think of the great work that God's done, it all began with preparation. You think of John the Baptist and the preparation. That was to break up the hard heart of Israel, right? To get some disciples that were following him and then turn them over to Jesus. And so the preparation can be, you know, an advanced runner, a forerunner, a prophet, or it can be prayer. And we're even getting ourselves are getting prayed for, or we're praying for others for their hearts.
That's good, Brian. That is so good. You know, as you look, and we're looking at these first two hearts, these first two types of soil. We mentioned that first one is it's a rocky soil. Yeah. It's a beaten down soil, because he's referring, as you're scattering seed into your field, some of the seed's going to fall over the edge of your field and it's going to hit the path. And boy, seed just doesn't take root there on the hard path. And it says that, and he sowed some seed, fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. The birds are going to grab what they can see. That seed has not gotten into the ground. Absolutely. And verse 13 says, and he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the other parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. In other words, if our hearts are not tilled, if you know, you think about tilling the soil, you've burned it, you've broken up the rocks, but there's also an element of tilling that soil so that as the seed falls, it falls on soil that's ready to receive it.
Absolutely.
Are our hearts tilled? Are they ready to receive the word? And so that's kind of that first heart. It's, to me, it's our hearts were once that way, right? Hardened. Not ready to receive the word.
That's right.
I tell people all the time as part of my testimony, I have no doubt, I grew up in the church, I have no doubt that someone preached the gospel. I have no doubt I heard it.
Right.
But I didn't hear it. You know, it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yes.
The reality is the seed of the gospel, my heart wasn't ready.
Right.
It hadn't been prepared yet.
Yeah.
Now, God is the one who really prepares the heart.
Yes.
To receive his word. And aren't you thankful for that?
Absolutely. To receive his word, and then also to fight off the attacks from Satan and the lies and the approaches he'll take with us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's look real quick, just so that we don't have to cover too much tomorrow as we're on together.
Sure.
Let's look at this second soil. It says in verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And, then in verses 16 and 17, he explains it. He says, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.
So that, if I can translate, that might be somebody that goes to a Billy Graham crusade or accepts Christ as an invitation to somebody else, and then they stop going to church, or they don't read the Bible, and then they don't know what to do with that experience that they know was real, but they're not, you know, getting into the word and growing as a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes. I was thinking of this tree that I told you I planted. It's not bearing fruit. Now, it's got leaves on it.
Right.
It looks like it's alive.
Yeah.
And we can do that. You know, we can look like a tree, but the question is, are we bearing fruit?
Yes.
And that's ultimately what the point of his message is. They'll know us by our fruit. We're not Christians because we walked an aisle. We're not Christians even because we got baptized or we joined a church.
Right.
We are Christians, and it's evidence. We don't work for salvation. Our works are evidence of that salvation.
Absolutely.
And to your point, even a Billy Graham crusade, I came to Christ at a crusade, not a Billy Graham crusade, but one very similar to that.
Absolutely.
And I am sure that field was full of people who made a profession of Christ, but their life demonstrates that they don't have possession of Christ. They don't have Christ in them.
Right.
And this speaks of the fact that when tribulations come, when heartache comes. We all experience those. Yes. James says, consider it pure joy when we encounter various trials. Right. Listen, it's not a case of if you're going to get them. They're coming.
Yes.
So how do you live that? It doesn't mean we're just clapping our hands and so grateful that we're going through those. The joy that James speaks of is a reality. As we came in to start the segment off, is that our hope is in a future
above.
Glory.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that the trials are simply an element that God uses to transform us. I don't know about you. Yeah. I'm a huge